Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the PI Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and we just want to say thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us on this Thursday, January the 22nd, 2015. Tonight we have a very interesting show for you. If you've been with us on the PRF Table, you know that we have been talking over the last couple of weeks about financial healing. So this is actually part three tonight on tonight, and we're going to be really just dealing with this same topic that we have been led to deal with all month. We had a very interesting show 2 weeks ago. Last week was just really, truly off the chain because we lasted on the air for about 2 hours last week. And normally we go for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. It was just amazing. Sometimes we realize that you just have to let God do what God is trying to do, and sometimes just step outside of your comfort zone, step out of the box, and most especially step out of the way. So before we get into tonight's show, I want to welcome one of the other hosts of the show, Sister Adia Sanders, who is sitting at the table with us. How are you doing this evening, cousin?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Ready to get this show cracking.
Yes.
I am. I'm excited. I'm really excited about how God has just been orchestrating what needs to be said during this particular time. If you were around yesterday, there was something called the State of the Union address, and it really started getting me to think. I was not able to watch it, but I had jumped on Facebook a couple times today and just saw so many comments. It was amazing. I saw so many comments from one group of people and no comments from another.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know that regardless of how good someone does or how bad someone does, we are still a country that's divided.
Yeah.
And so as we deal with this topic of financial healing tonight, what I want us to do is just continue on the path that God has led us on. You know, there was a lot of people that turned in to hear that one man last night. But how many people are going to turn in to get what God has for them in regards to their financial health?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do here on the PR table is just continue to go forward in the path that we know we're supposed to go. I wanted to just really just start off where we were last week, if there is such a thing, Adia. You know, we actually... it was just hard to try to even listen to last week's show, for one, because it was so long, two, because it was so good, and three, because my days have been very hectic this week. But one thing that I do remember from last week was bringing out the fact that the definition of healing is the natural process by which the body repairs itself. And I remember how we were talking last week about if we are a body, and I'm talking, I know we have people of different denominations and faiths that listen to this show, but from a Christian perspective, if we are the body, capital B, if that's who we are, if that's who we profess to be connected with, then when we are experiencing things in our lives, or there are people among us experiencing things in their lives from a financial standpoint that need healing,
mm-hmm.
it should be the body that heals itself. A very good example of that is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the focal points for the PR table, or at least one of them. We don't read in those scriptures where anybody had to tell those individuals to sell your possessions and bring it to the apostles' feet. I don't know if that happened or not, But all I know is what's written. And what's written is nothing to say anything to the contrary that somebody had to direct him to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the teaching that they received, to me it seems like they were able to do what they knew that they needed to be done. And by that, we see more people coming to Christ during that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something wrong, and I hate to start off on a negative point, but there has to be something wrong when Sunday after Sunday there are not droves of people flocking to the church house.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something wrong when there are so many people broke, busted, and disgusted, and they continue to get payday loans for 300%, 150% interest.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something wrong in the body. I'm talking about in the body. I'm not talking outside the body. I'm talking about in the body, and I know what I'm talking about, and you do too, right? There has to be something wrong if when people are searching for financial healing and don't know where to start. We know that we are just one vehicle, but it's going to take you, the listeners, to actually take this information and to go out and do something else with it. I was having a conversation with my niece earlier, and she was talking about, aren't you about to start doing these financial classes? And I said, you know, I really don't want to call them classes, because a class is something that as someone who is a higher education educator, I know that sometimes people come to class just to come to class. Sometimes people come to class just for their own personal reasons. Look, I need to get these credits so I can get promoted. I need to get these credits so I can get this degree. So this thing is not about classes. It's about ministry. And I was explaining that to her because we have to be willing to put in the work. And I'm so grateful to you and all the other hosts of the PRF table. I know some of them will be on a little bit later, but I'm just grateful that we keep doing what we're doing today. Did you have any comments from last week that you just wanted to bring out before we, like I said earlier, get it cracking on tonight's show?
Well, not from last week. I thought last week was really good. And even though it was long, I thought that the points, I thought that the points that we talked about were needed. But at the same time, I know that there's a deeper place for us to go. And I sensed that on last week. And I would really like to look more at the definition of healing, because I think if people understand what the definition of healing means, that when they use that definition, whether if it's for their finances, whether it's for if they're in school, whether it's for any area in their life where they need healing at, I think that looking at that definition will definitely, I think it will shed light onto the problems that's going on with that person. And I think it will help definitely me to identify where I am and how I can get from point A to point B and to continue to progress along. So I would really like for us to go deeper, into just looking at the topic of healing and what it means, and then tie it into, you know, that financial piece. Because I think some people need that. I think that some people need that to know that there is healing. And I think Richard Smallwood, he did a song, There's a Balm in Gilead. Some people need to know that there is a balm in Gilead concerning their finances. You know, and that song it goes on to say there's healing for your sorrows and healing for your soul. Well, there is healing for people's financial issues that they may be going through right now, you know, and I just feel that need for us to go a little bit deeper.
Well, let's do that. You know, that's how we do it here on the PRF table. You know, wherever God is leading us, that's where we do our best to try to go. And again, the definition, the natural process by which the body repairs itself. I think that we are definitely on the right track and we're on the same wavelength, because let's go back to John chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. For those who weren't on the show with us or have not been able to catch the previous two shows, that's the scripture that has just been where we have been wrapping all of our conversation pretty much around. And I think if we concentrate tonight on a couple of those verses in that particular, I think we will be able to go deeper. So if you're here with us and you want to join into the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad and we'll bring you into the conversation. We'll see you light up on the switchboard. Adia, we know that this is not one of those let's jump out and have fun topics. We know that this is not one of those topics that people are just going to come to, like with Scandal or the State of the Union address or PBR, you know, rodeo. But it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's needed. It's valid. And if people are not willing to listen to what the Spirit of God is trying to say, people, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, people mm-hmm. are going to continue to be in some of the same financial places where they're at
mm-hmm.
that actually need healing. And, mm-hmm. and I can say this. We also talked about on one of the previous shows that when we talk about financial healing, we're not talking about something that's grave. We're not talking about something that just has that is just so bad that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, this is not a show that you need to be at the brink of bankruptcy on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not a show that, you know, you need to, you know, if you're getting ready to get kicked out of your house. It's not that, because we all
mm-hmm.
have something. I said it before. We all have something in our lives, in our PRF profiles, that we can use some type of healing for.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean, again, that it's all about the negative. So that transformation of the mind, you know, just when people see the topic, financial healing. Look, I'm not the marketing guy. I'm putting out there what it is. Talk about financial healing. That's it. Come and see what's being said. You know, in Revelation, it's recorded, let the churches hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Let them hear. So this is what I want to do. Did you have something to do?
No, not right now.
We have in John chapter 5, I want us to just take a look back at a couple of verses. Verse 6 was the thing that struck me a couple of weeks ago, and that was saying, look, Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Definition of healing, the natural process by which the body repairs itself. And here's what it led me to think about, or what popped into my mind or my spirit. Do you want to be healed? Those first two words in that sentence, do you, is different than you need to. Do you want to be healed is
mm-hmm.
different than saying you need to be healed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's backed by a decision. You have to decide, you know, and I think priority goes into that. If you get this healing, even though you may have something else that you need, which one are you going to decide to do? Which one is going to take priority, healing or something else? Because the healing is going to be, in my opinion, when I look at this, you know, when Jesus asked this question, do you want my, and I'm, my New King James Version says, do you want to be made well? To me, that's a permanent fix. This healing that this man was getting ready to receive was one that was permanent. So 10, 15, 20 years down the line, there wasn't, this question wouldn't have to be asked again. So
that's correct. But let me call your attention to the distinction of the question. The question was Jesus asking the man, do you want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason that question came into my mind, or that thought of do you, is different than you need to, because so oftentimes when people are sick, they oftentimes don't need somebody to tell them that they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to go deeper, so let's go deeper. By me just telling somebody you need to be healed
mm-hmm.
doesn't heal them. All it does is say that you have to do something and puts all the responsibility on them. You need to get healed. If we really be real with this idea, everybody who has a sickness doesn't get healed. Everybody who has a sickness doesn't get healed. Could it be that it is easier for us, meaning just us as individuals, it's easy for us to hurry up to have the mindset that brother such and such is going through financial problems, we need to go ahead and take care of that so they're not having that financial problem anymore, because it's easier for me to put a Band-Aid on something than it is for me to walk with them through a process.
Mm-hmm.
So when that thought came to my mind, I said, you know what, I really think I need to tell people that this thing is about reconciliation. This thing is about walking with somebody through the process. So I can't want, for selfish reasons, brother such and such to be healed of this financial problem just so I don't have to listen to him anymore. Just so I don't have to deal with him crying on my shoulder anymore. Because now it's about me. Now it's about what I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about I don't have the time to deal with this, or I don't have time to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to go back to what you said about two things. One is when you look at a need, when you look at the beginning part of that, it says Jesus, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. When we see people that need financial healing, we can probably say this person has been dealing with this for some time, whether that some time is 6 months or whether it's a year or whether it's been 38 years as the man in this case. So there wasn't a need to ask him if he needed to be made well or if he needed to be healed. And when I think about a need, I go back to Philippians where it says that God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, if the need is already going to be supplied, then sometimes we can get what we want. So the question of asking him, do you want to be made well? Well, Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So by him asking, by Jesus asking this man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? I think it got to the point, this man had been like this for 38 years, and if you look down to verse 7, Jesus asks him a question, but verse 7, he gives him an excuse. He puts the blame on other people, and I think that he had gotten so used to giving that answer that when Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed, His immediate reaction was, let me give you my story, because this is a story that I give to everybody because they see me laying here, and I've been laying here. It's kind of like a hand panel. When you go and ask them, hey, you know, you want to get a job? Man, you know, these streets is hard. I didn't ask you about the street. I asked you if you wanted a job so that you can come off the street, but they're conditioned. They are culturally conditioned to respond immediately with what their circumstances are. And so when you look at, if we're looking at financial healing, I would like to say it's safe to say that even though everybody does not get healed from all sickness and disease, that when the question is asked of you, do you want to be healed, to not be culturally conditioned to tell somebody to run down your story about what's going on. Because they're not asking you about that, because just like Jesus was able to look at this man to see the condition that he was in and that he had been there for a very long time, most people can look at you and say, okay, this is something that they're probably used to. They've been in this place. This is a familiar place for them. And so the response that they give is, yeah, I want financial healing. Sure, give it to me. They go and give you what this man gave. Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. He ain't asked you if you needed somebody to put you in the pool. He asked you if you wanted to be healed. So that lets me know that either he didn't recognize who Jesus was, or he was culturally conditioned to always give the same answer regardless of what was being asked of him. Because maybe somebody had asked him if he wanted to be healed before, and he gave them the same answer, and so they just walked off. But when we encounter Jesus, you know, and there are stories in the Bible of people that encountered Jesus and they left and they went back the same way that they came, because you got the rich young ruler. But for most parts, that what we see in the Bible is that when they had an encounter with Jesus, they were healed. They were healed of sickness and disease, and demons were cast out. And so my question would be today, if everybody cannot be healed, what's stopping them? Is it because they're still giving their story about how hard times are and because they've been culturally conditioned to doing that? Or is it that they're just not going to be healed for whatever the reason is? And so I, seeing that, has to just embrace it to say, well, that's just the way that things are going to be. And be okay with that, to still know that God is able, but for whatever reasons, maybe that's just that person's testimony. And that's going to be their lifelong trial because, you know, he said the poor would be with us. I don't know.
You know, that your thought about being culturally conditioned is a place that I'm kind of hanging my head on. I think for me, I'm looking at this man, and I recognize that, yes, he did say, hey, this is what's been going on. And I guess I'm empathetic to that, because when people, you mentioned culturally conditioned, when people have been in situations financially for so long, just because I ask the question, hey, do you want to get out of this situation? Doesn't mean that they're going to automatically respond because I'm ready for them to get out of that situation, because mm-hmm. they may not be ready to get out of that situation. So we're tackling it from two different angles, but I think both of them are relevant, because we're going mm-hmm. to encounter people ministering in this area, and I'm sure we already have, but anybody who ministers to people in this area is going to encounter people that's not always going to be ready to make the steps necessary mm-hmm. to do what they have to do just because we're there.
Yeah.
So going back to what something Brother Feaster would say, you have to have the courage enough to care. You have to have the courage enough to care. Mama has joined us, so let me introduce Mama, Sister Mary Ann Williams, to the table. Mama, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very good, very good. Glad to have you joining with us this evening.
Good to be here.
So I want you start. You left at verse 7. So let's look at verse 8. Jesus said, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Three simple things. Mm. But think about what I just said. Sometimes it's just not that simple. Sometimes it's just not that simple, and we have to be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God, and we have to be empathetic enough with the individuals that we're encountering in this area of finances or this area of PRF. Because if we're not, then we'll do what I was mentioning before. We won't ask them, do you want to be healed? We'll say, you need to be healed. And I can tell you, when somebody is culturally conditioned, when somebody is spiritually bankrupt, me telling them what they need to do is not going to get them and encourage them to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it very carnal for a minute. When my mama used to tell me to wash the dishes, that sparked nothing in me about stewardship. All I wanted to do was go outside and play. So we're cautious enough here on a PRF table to not think that everybody, or to think that everybody who is coming for help, or we mm-hmm. approach and say, hey, we can offer this to you, is going to receive it. I can tell you firsthand, there have been people who have rejected PRF. I used to take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at this scripture, I say, you know what? They're just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
They are culturally conditioned in some churches. Some, yeah. I'm not going to say all. In some churches, that we're not going to talk about anything other than giving. We're not going to talk about anything other than tithing. The way we get money in this church is by selling fish dinners and chicken dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And giving and doing annual days to raise funds. But yet the people are still suffering among them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not ready yet. So we just let them be where they are, even though sometimes it's painful to watch some of the congregations in my community go through what they're going through, because I understand mm-hmm. what some of the people within those congregations are actually going through. The first thing he said was rise, which goes back to what I think what you have harped on so much, Adia, about taking accountability for why you may or may not be in that situation. And then when he said take up or pick up, whatever that thing is that has to be picked up, people have to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about this man was what he had to pick up was something that he was dependent on. He was depending mm-hmm. on that mat that he was sitting on all of these mm-hmm. years. So the same thing with us. We have to be willing to pick up whatever that thing is. Whatever that thing is that's keeping somebody at a 350 credit score. Because it's not just like that by chance. It's like that because something wasn't done or a circumstance happened that was beyond their control. Whatever it is, the person has to be willing to pick it up. And the last part of it, and I'll let y'all talk about it if you want, he said walk. That means go forward. And I last weekend, the week before last, I mentioned Luke chapter 9, verse 62. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks backward is not fit for the kingdom. If God is going to provide a financial healing through his people or directly through him from some miraculous way, which would be a miracle now, but if God does that, he doesn't want us, anybody, looking back to the same thing that may be causing them to get off track in the first place. The other thing about this going forward is if God is going to heal you, I want to believe that there is an expectation that you're going to tell somebody about it. By telling somebody about the financial healing that has come to your life, it opens up the door for God to get the glory for what he can only do. I'm not talking about doing things on your own. I'm talking about an instance just like this in John chapter 5, where we know it was nothing but God. It wasn't nobody else. It was just them. Mama, you've been sitting quiet in the background. I'll drop the mic for a minute and let you jump in here because you've been quiet, and that's normally not like you.
Well, what I was thinking about when Sister Adia was talking about you know, your condition, I reflected back to how I had 10 years with my grandmother. And with my grandmother, I didn't do anything. You know, we played. We didn't do any work. I didn't take out the trash. I didn't wash the dishes. Didn't make the bed and do anything. And then when my great aunt came and got me, her lifestyle was different. And her, of course, my grandmother, I must say, did the best she could. You know, she had to work. And so when she came home, it was others besides me she had to take care of. So it was really hard for her. But anyway, moving forward, when I started staying with my aunt, you know, there were things to do. You know, I had to, you know, I mean, I was 10 years old and didn't know how to make a bed, didn't know how to wash dishes, didn't know how to iron, didn't know how to wash. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And she was about, I should have known how to do those things. So now she's in my life. She is going to, because my grandmother wanted me to have more because she wasn't able to provide for me like Anira was. And so, but for me, it was really hard. And but Anira, she walked with me through the process. And it was really hard on me, you know, and I was stubborn. you know, and she allowed me to be stubborn with limitations, believe me, with limitations. But it was a piece of work because I'm thinking she's mean to me. You know, and when I wrote my grandmother and told her I wanted to come back and she told me to, you know, to stay there and do what I'm told to do, then I was mad with her too. So I was mad with my grandmother, who I was never angry with. Of course not. She never made me do anything. But now I'm angry with her, and now I'm angry with Aunt Eva. But Aunt Eva overlooked that because Aunt Eva had a job to do and what she's promised that she was going to do, help me, you know, to move forward. And it is very hard, and had she not had that patience with me, you know, to constantly repeat things, you know, like I said before, you know, it's just not I is, you know, as I am, it's not they is, it's they are. My gosh, you know, I can't say anything, you know, but had she not taken that patience with me and no, this is the way you do it, you know what I'm saying? And so it takes patience and really wanting to help someone because she really wanted to help me. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about my background. It's about what can I do to help her to become a lady of integrity. Those were her words. You know, so that's what I was reflecting on.
Gotcha.
So it is a process, and it's hard.
It may be hard at times, but the good thing is it's not impossible. And I think that's the word of encouragement to leave people. I'm going through this process of financial healing is not an impossible task, because all of us here on the PRF table have been financially healed from something or some things at least once in our lives. So that's just a word of encouragement, a nugget for everybody who's out there listening. Shatar, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. What do you want to bring to us this evening?
I pretty much just wanted to piggyback off of what you guys were saying. It is really important that the person wants to be healed, because in some instances they may not know that they need healing, but in some instances they do know that they need healing, but because the length of time that they've been in the situation, they can't see a way to do it differently. And they've never been exposed to a way to do it differently. And then even when they are exposed, and I'm saying this because, oh my goodness, this is just all over a situation that I had yesterday. This topic, this whole, everything that you guys are saying is like words straight from God to me. Bam.
Wow.
So relevant. A conversation that I had yesterday. And I said to the person, you need, that's what I said. And then I caught myself and I stopped. Initially, I was saying you need. And then I said, okay, you're saying that you want, because the individual said that they did want to change. I don't want to be like this. I don't, you know, you think I want to do this? And I'm like, do you want to do it differently? Do you want a different way to do it? Do you want to learn how to do it a way that won't leave you in crisis time after time, because it's a cycle of crisis. It's like, okay, it'll be okay for a little while, but it's, you know, the proverbial robbing Peter to pay Paul always comes back to where you don't have anything, you know? And so if you want to do it different, I've been trying to show you how to do it differently for a long time. But in my frustration, and it wasn't frustration, I gave up. I was like, okay, I'm just going to step back and I'm going to pray about it and just let it go. And this moment, the individual said that to me. I said, I am willing to work with you and show you a different way. But you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to listen. So, you know, but in their explanation, I could clearly see that it wasn't even a viable option for them to do it in a different way, because that's all they knew.
Right.
One way was all that they knew. So, and it's not, and even though at times it felt to me like, oh, you just don't want help. You just want to, you know, you don't want help. In my frustration, you don't want help. But in that conversation yesterday, The individual said, yes, I want to do it. I want to do something different. I don't want to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That was the opportunity to say, okay, I'm here. I can help you. And
you
I'm
go.
Willing to help. So everything that y'all said up until this point, I was like, oh, my God, look at this. You know, look at this. But it's I just wanted to, you know, comment on that because it's real. This is, like, real, so very real to me as of
mm-hmm.
yesterday, you know, and you guys are all pulling it all together. And, yeah, like you said, it's not about the bankruptcy necessarily because it's possible to maintain, you know, with bad habits or with, you know, where you can get better habits, you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's all you knew. It's possible
mm-hmm.
to maintain, but is that where you want to be hanging on to the bottom rung, getting by, as opposed to learning a new mindset and not having the stress and stay in the cycle. So, and once it's identified that, okay, you know what, I got to do something different, then there's not the fight. There's not the pull, you know, the tug and the pull to try to get them to do it in a different way. It's like, okay, they come willingly, totally willing to listen. And I fought for many years, decades even, to try to get this person to, look, what are you doing? Because it was the true sense, the true definition of insanity, really. It was the absolute definition of insanity. Like, you're doing it's the same thing, and it's like they were just running into the wall and then wondering, why do I keep ending up like this? And I got angry after a certain point, and I was like, okay, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to walk away. But, it's you know, and I know I was wrong for getting angry, but when I stepped away and just let God have, I prayed about it, and I said, okay, Lord, when, you know, you see fit, the opportunity just walked, it was just open right up. So that's real. Just want to say that's real, what you guys are saying.
And I thank God that you had the experience of being able to say, this kind of like ticked me off because you've been dealing with this person for so long. And you see that they can be in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thing of transformation. That's what occurred because you realize that, one, you can't do it.
That's
there
right.
has to be that yep. connection
exactly.
with them and God placing something on their heart for them to be able to say, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Let me tell you what happens in bankruptcies. Back in 2005 when the new bankruptcy laws came into effect, they required everybody to have a financial class. I just can't stand that word. A financial class before they enter into the bankruptcy and then another financial class, quote unquote, as their bankruptcy is being discharged or they're coming out of the bankruptcy. The problem with the class is it doesn't speak to any type of feeling. So that class does not change any of their behaviors.
Hmm.
Right.
All that class does is give them the information to be able to go back to the bankruptcy court, the entity that has given them this financial relief, to be able to say, you've done what I've told you to do, so now we're going to go ahead and let you be dismissed with this bankruptcy.
Yeah.
We'll let you. That's the danger. And for you to have that experience, that's a good thing. That's what we want to be able to do. That's what we want to happen in our lives, because when people are going through what they're going through financially, it takes us to do some changing as well just to be able to deal with them.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And we can't minister to nobody if we're not willing to change ourselves.
Yeah.
No matter how much knowledge we have in this area, all of us,
true.
If we're not willing to change our mindset about some things, then we may miss that individual who we need to minister to because we're stuck in a particular mindset. Adia, you already talked about it. Culturally conditioned. Well, we can be culturally
yeah.
conditioned when we know a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
And be no heavenly or earthly help to anybody else. So I'm glad you had that experience. I'm sorry.
I wanted to point out again, just, you know, how this whole scenario played out with the man who'd been laying on his bed for 38 years. if he hadn't been laying there, if he had been at his house, I think the house would have been indicative of him not wanting to be healed. But because he was by the pool or somewhere close by, I think that that was an indication to Jesus that he wanted to be healed. Because he could have been anywhere else except by that pool. He could have been at the church. He could have been, you know, at the Piggly Wiggly. He could have been at the Denny's. He could have been at the intersection, you know, with his little bucket thinking, you know, saying, I need some change for some food. But the fact that he was in the vicinity of where this pool was, to me, I just see Jesus saying this man wants to be healed because he's where he needs to be. He just hadn't been able to get there because he's allowed his story to keep him from getting to the pool. And so because it's just so clear, and so I'm listening to what Shatara was saying, that this person, without saying they wanted to be helped, was saying that they wanted to be helped because they were in the vicinity of where the healing was. It just took for Shatara to be able to recognize that this person really, they want to be helped. They know they need it, but at the same time, they want to be helped because it, look at where they are. Look at some of the things that they're doing. Look at how they're talking. We can flip the script and talk about suicide, that how do we know that somebody is crying out for help, that they really don't want to commit suicide? Because they're doing things to get attention, because if they really wanted to end their lives, they'd go do it.
Right.
And so the same situation is here. This man was by the pool. He was where he needed to be to get the healing. He just couldn't get to the pool because of his story, because he'd been used to saying the same thing over and over and over again. So if we tap into, you know, just begin to be sensitive to what people are saying, we will hear them saying, without saying it, I want to be financially healed. I was talking to my best friend today, and I had bought her a book last year that I know that nobody but God laid on my heart, because she didn't even have her own place at the time that I got the book. But I believed God that she was going to get her own place, which she eventually did some months later. And she said, Adia, she said, I don't want you to be mad at me. She said, but I just started reading this book. I said, well, what are you learning from the book? She said, well, I'm learning about how I am when it comes to keeping my house clean. I'm learning about some things that I had ignored or wasn't even aware of that I was doing. So she wanted the help, and she knew she needed it, but she had to get, you know, sometimes you got to get to that place of where the healing is. Mm. And so we can get to that area of where the healing is, even if we, just by us sitting there alone, you know, we're on the phone every Thursday night. We are in the place of where we can get the healing that we need. And though nobody may ever know it, I believe that the time is going to come to where they're going to have an encounter with Jesus. They're going to have an encounter with Nate. They're going to have an encounter with Shatara or Cousin Mary or Adia, and we're going to realize, hold up, this person been in the area of healing. The time is now. It may have taken 38 years, but this man got his healing. He got up and he walked. And Jesus ignored the story. Okay, you know, you sitting up here, you know, ain't nobody put you in the pool, but I'm here now. He disregarded all of that because he knew that the man wanted to be healed because he'd been by the pool for 38 years. And that's all I want to say.
That's good.
I just got that as y'all was talking.
Something just came up as you were saying, as what you were just saying, Adia. Can we even just stop to think for a minute that even though this man had been there for this long, in this condition for all of these years, that maybe nobody even asked him, did he ever want to be healed? Maybe nobody ever asked him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get out of your financial situation? Or did the people around him just assume because he was there, positioned in the right place, that okay, well he wants to be healed because he's in the right place? But I have no problem saying that when Jesus asked this man in John chapter 5 this question, because of the nature of who Christ was, he could not ask that question out of anything other than love.
Yeah.
So if we're going to ask the question, if we're going to put ourselves out there to be able to help somebody or want to help somebody, then it has to be done with love. Has to be done with love. We have a caller that wants to jump in on the conversation, calling with the last four of 0882. Welcome to the PRF table.
How you doing, Brother Dunlap? This is Fred Williams.
How you doing, sir? Great to have you on the show with
us. Thank you. I'm blessed. Thank you. I was just reading this about the man. I'm understanding and I agree with everything about the man trying to get there, and him, you know, it basically boils down to his faith and different stuff like that. But I'm reading differently. I know it said that he had the infirmity for 38 years, but does that indicate that he was at the pool for 38 years? I mean, he had this disability or whatever it is for 38 years, and of course he was trying to get into the pool to be healed, as they thought the troubling of the water would heal him. But I'm just saying that, and that, I know that's a little bit different than him, you know, having the faith and trying to get into the pool. But I'm just saying, is there indication that he was actually by that pool or coming to that pool for 38 years? Or did he have that problem 38 years and then years later he's trying to get to that pool to get healed? And, of course, we know he was trying to get healed, and he believed that he was eventually going to be healed or he wouldn't have been there. And then by Jesus coming, naturally, just like with us, we go on and on and on, but if you persevere and don't give up, your time will come, because everything has its season, even healing. So I'm just actually kind of submitting a question and trying to find out where everybody stands on that.
Well, I can tell you that some manuscripts actually say, or actually have it written, that at a certain time, and it doesn't specify exactly what time, that the waters were stirred up,
right,
where this angel would come, where when the first person who stepped down in the pool was the one who got the healing.
Right.
So we can see where this individual was coming to the pool during those times, but there's no indication that says that he was doing so for specifically 38 years.
Right. Or was they at even 38? With it. I mean, I'm just, I don't know, the analytical mind is just going all over the place.
Well, you know what? I think one of the things that's worth taking, whether it was 38 years or whether five, and I've said this before as I've spoken on this topic, 38 years to that man is no different than 5 years to me.
Amen.
Whatever ailment that any of us have, when we actually have that particular ailment, the fact that you got healed of it when I still got it, I got you. You got your healing, but I'm still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody to have any type of ailment or sickness, when they are experiencing it themselves, in that moment, that's all that really, really matters to that individual, that I'm dealing with this, and hopefully they want to be healed, and that question actually gets asked to them so that they can respond in the right way.
Yes. Yes.
But good question, sir.
Yeah,
I appreciate you.
I think that part about the healing, though.
All right. Thank you, sir. Look at verse 9, if you will. If you go and look at verse 9, the first thing that is mentioned in verse 9, it says, after he asked the man, did he want to be healed, and he gave his response, it says specifically, and immediately. I love the fact that it said, and immediately, because I think that sometimes brings another, I hate to say a problem, but for lack of a better phrase, that brings another problem to understanding this. We can't take it as everybody is going to have their financial healing immediately. So I want to just put that out there. In the natural, if you look at the verse, it says, and immediately he was made whole. After he was made whole, He stood up, he took up his mat, and then he walked. So what I see from that idea is that spiritual and that physical healing is something that needs that will come at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened in the physical until that man actually got up on his own 2 feet. So there's a statement that we have to put out there to everybody. Your financial healing may be already there. You may already be made whole in the spiritual sense of your finances. But God just may be waiting for you to take that step, stand up, pick up whatever it is that you've been holding on to, and go ahead and get the moving.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to believe it. We have to believe it. I may believe it, and I may believe it for you. But you as the individual, you have to believe it yourself. We got another caller that's jumped in that wants to have a conversation with us. Caller with the last four of 5662. Welcome to the PRF table.
God bless you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this evening?
Good, good. This is Pastor Wormley.
How you doing, sir? Glad to have you on the show.
Oh, yeah, glad to have you too, sir. So I'm glad to be here too as well. I just wanted to say a little bit because I listened to it last week and you was talking about being in a position. And as we discussed a little bit about being in a position, we find everybody in a position doing what they're supposed to do. But then we also find that there's also people in a position is not doing what they're supposed to do. And as you mentioned about, like, there was 13 churches from where you were, I think you said from your office or something, going home. There was 13 churches where there was only one that basically had a food bank.
Right.
And the thought came to me, what about the other 12? What is in their storehouse? Do they have a clothing bank? Do they have furniture or something that they can actually give to the folks who are needy, who are perplexed on every side and all the rest of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about position, a lot of people thinking it's a position of authority.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at position and where God has us. Because the position you're in, I'm in a total different position because of the things. First of all, your walk with Christ. Where are you mature in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, your position is where God wants you to be, number one, because he is working on you as the individual that's in that position. Why? Because you have to minister to whomever your name is on. That's all, those individuals that's already set aside for your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking at, too, the position holds power, it holds authority in that same position. It could be healing, whether it's financial, social, physical. Then, also in that position, we have to look at where we are. Because the word position, of course, is in a person who's being in a particular place for a particular time, possibly to do a particular work. As I was sharing with the church on Sunday, and then we also had a cable broadcast that we went on TV, and Lord was telling me about thinking outside the box. When you are in a key position, because everybody could be in a position, but when you are in a key position as a leader, God said, first of all, we need to have a vision, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So while we have a vision, that means we should be thinking out of the confinements of that box that we put ourselves in. Because when you was talking about the healing of financial and the physical, a lot of times we put ourselves in whatever size box that we're putting ourselves in, either a 2x2, 4x4, 6x6, 8x8, 20x20, because we're looking at the situation where we are instead of looking at what God can do. Because we threw some questions out there and said, what did you do with the box the last time you had it in your possession? Some said they crushed it. Some said they threw the box away. Some said they just packed up the remaining items, sealed it, and put it away. But God is telling us we have to go outside of the box. We have to think outside of the box. Because a lot of times that box is our demise. Because it slows us down. It pushes us back, and it's holding us back. Because we are placing God in a box. He said, I'm larger than that box. I truly believe that man at the pool of Bethesda received his healing when he heeded to the word. When Jesus told him to get up, pick up your bed and walk. Why? Because that same story is a lot of us. We were waiting on somebody else to come and pick us up to get us to the place where we want to go, instead of us relying on what God has given us to do. Mind you, in that thinking outside the box, he said, so what? That so what is, just because you got gifts, talents, and some skills, God said, that's our problem, because we've been relying on all those things too long. Same thing with that man that was at the pool of Bethesda. He said every time the waters got stirred up, he kept trying to inch his way. He kept trying to get his way there because he put himself inside of a box because he was looking at his situation instead of looking outside of that situation like, hey, I am determined that I'm going to get to that pool so I can get my healing, because he already believed he just had to get to the place. He had to get in position in order for him to receive his healing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're actually thinking outside of the box, that means we're going far above and beyond. Because see, Moses, when he called out the 12, he, you know, and as we talked about that, when he called out those 12 men, they tell them to go to spy in the land. If you read it carefully, then each tribe said, okay, they don't select somebody, right? And that young man was going to present that tribe. But if you look at the end of each one, it said the son of. It didn't say that he was the leader. He was a chosen leader. It said he was the son of. And that's all it said. But then you had Joshua, who Moses changed his name from Hoshea to Joshua. And he said, there was something about this young man. But you notice when him and Caleb teamed up and they came back with the report, right? Those 10 gave a report about demise. We can't do this. And all of us said, why? Because they were inside of a box and they were scared to get out of their comfort zone and trust and believe God for what he had already commissioned them to do. Because the last thing Moses told them when they went out, he said, be strong and of good courage. That's what he tells us each and every day. Because when we pray, we're supposed to be in what? We're supposed to be expecting that thing to happen right then and there while we're praying. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at being in a position, we have to think outside the box. Because everybody is not in a position, but they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why? Because they confine themselves to their gifts, talents, and their skills. And they don't allow God to come in and to intervene and show them what needs to be done. Allow God to work in them so they can go be above and beyond to what we can even imagine or think. We are the ones who confine ourselves because we're relying on gifts, talents, and skills when we should be relying on God. He did say acknowledge him in all of his ways, right? he'll direct the path. As a leader, we got to know what path we're going down. As a leader, we should be acknowledging him every single day so we'll know which direction that we need to go in. Because just because you are outreach ministries, that don't mean that you're going to be able to feed the poor, that you're going to give clothes to this person. That may not be what God wants you to do. God, I got you an outreach. Hey, I need you to go over here and minister to these folks over here in Haiti or somewhere where Ebola is striking up. Why? Because it's about testing of your faith. In that position, it comes with some stuff that God is trying to work in us, work out of us, so he can work through us.
Amen.
And so as we look at this thing, I tell you what, Lord just told me, he said, you in that position, yeah, you're passing all this stuff, but guess what? You start thinking outside of the box and see if I will not bless you more abundantly. Take you to places where you've never been before. You being before people that you never thought you'd be before. And that you'll be able to do exceedingly above all that you can imagine or think, even in your community, where folks will hear about what you're doing there, and then all of a sudden they want to become like leeches because they want to get attached to what you're doing. But I'll stop right there.
Hey, we appreciate it. We love it. You know, and not to, I don't need to sum up anything that you said, because what you said, you can only have said it. In that verse, in verse 9, there was the physical and the spiritual all occurring at one time. You touched on faith. Being in the right position, when something like this occurs, when this encounter, as Adia said, when that thing actually happens, God is already moving something. He's already moving something in the spiritual realm.
Yes, yes.
I love the fact that that this man in John chapter 5, he didn't wait long after the spiritual had happened for him to do the physical.
Mm-hmm.
We don't read where 2 weeks later, we don't read, and immediately he was made whole. The next verse is not, or the rest of that verse does not say, and 3 weeks later, he rose, picked up his mat, and walked. So again, this whole thing is about how compassionate, that's what I'm hearing, how compassionate can we be as we're ministering to individuals? And it doesn't have to be a lot of people. We talked about resistance. I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute for one quick second, brother. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. That's one of the things that I really, really want people to get from what we're talking about. Because if you minister to the one can go and tell the others. Just like if you go and look at what Jesus did with the woman at the well, who told her everything about her, with her five husbands and the one that she has right now is not her own. She went and told others, and then Jesus remained with them for several days. Because there was another work that had to be done at this other place that was as a result of being in contact with one person, with this one woman. So did I hear Adia, Shatara, or either one of y'all trying to get in while Pastor was commenting, or were y'all just amening over there?
I was amening. That was good.
Okay.
That was right on point.
Amen.
That was on several points, as a matter of fact.
It really was. Let's drive this last point home for tonight. And I say for tonight, if it goes longer, then you know how it's going to be. One of the things about this chapter is verse 9. I was thinking about being in the presence of Christ. And Adia, you may want to touch on this because you brought it out. Being when we get into the presence of Christ, then we should expect this type of healing to occur. When we get into the presence of Christ, we should expect something to occur. Now, it wouldn't be me if I didn't say it like this. Sunday after Sunday, people walk out of a church building, saying that they had an encounter with Christ, saying that they had a Holy Ghost worship experience. But last week, Adi, I believe it was you who said that the Lord revealed to you that there were people sitting right there that had not even asked for their healing, not asked for what they needed, but were sitting there in the midst of it. So I'm going to throw this out there to you, Adia. What is it that we can do when there are people there that, one, won't even ask for what they need, or, two, there's people that are not even concerned or not even connected enough with God to be able to hear from him, to go to somebody and say, do you need some help?
So several things come to mind. One is looking at John chapter 5 and just asking them the question. And the second one is one that I've had to personally do myself, is continue to be there but not be there. You know, when I've had people come up to me with certain things, you know, especially dealing with finances, you know, I was like, okay, well, we've gone over the budget. I've gone over, you know, a budget with you because this is what you talked about. Like, you know, man, I don't have enough money to do this. Okay, so we talked about the budget. And I sat down, I sent you a budget. But then you come back and still say the same thing. Adia, I can't speak to nobody else, but what Adia has done was like, well, you have the tools that you need. So when you get to the point that you are ready to utilize the tools that you have, I will still be here. I'm here for you throughout anything because that's, you know, that's the type of person that I am. But when you make up in your mind and in your heart that you're ready to utilize the tools that you need to help you with your situation that you've been talking about, then I can help you. So sometimes it's not going past what a person really needs. And I hope I'm answering this question. And for people who have a need but aren't saying anything, I just think asking them that question, just asking the question outright, you know, is there anything that I can help you with? Do you, you know, do you understand, you know, about finances? Is there an area that you're looking at? Because a lot of times I know I've missed opportunities to where I just need to be up close and personal to a person and just come right out and ask them. I'll go back again to the whole thing with suicide. In the Army, we go through our training, and it doesn't tell us to beat around the bush about asking that person, well, you know, have you been having thoughts, or is everything all right? Have you been feeling isolated? When you clearly can see the signs of suicide, it's to ask that person, are you thinking about killing yourself?
That's right.
When we do that, they have to take responsibility and provide an answer. They may tell you the truth or they may lie. But the fact that you've been able to identify that something is there that looks like suicide because of their behavior, based on what they're saying or not saying, I still got to ask you the question. So I have done, you know, I've done pretty much all of those things. I'm offering myself to you. I'm offering you, you know, resources that can help you. I've done what Jesus has done to where he's, you know, asking, do you want help? Do you want to get the help that you need with your finances? And then just being up close, you know, just like boom in your face, you know, are you having an issue? Are you thinking about this? And so, or the other one is to where I just stood back and say, I've offered it, I will still be here, but only when you get tired of your situation and you're ready to change it, just know that I'm here for you. And kind of just walk off, and during that time, I'm still praying and I'm still believing, you know, and even when I've had people say, you know, man, I'm tired of living this way or I'm tired of living that way, I sit back and just be like, oh, okay. And I'll just listen to them. And then I'll listen to how they'll go on and on and on about, well, I just went to the store and bought this. I'm like, oh, they ain't tired. They ain't tired yet because they just went to the store and bought something that they didn't need. They're not tired. Or I may intervene and ask them poignant questions like, oh, so are you at the drive-thru? Oh, yeah. I've done that to people. Like, you have to drive. Oh, I thought you said you was trying to change your financial situation. I am, but, you know, I ain't have time to make my lunch, so I had to stop by here. Well, how many times have you been to the drive thru this week? Every day? Oh, in my head, I'm like, oh, they ain't ready. So you got to let people just not leave them flapping in the wind, but just leave them out there because they're not ready to end their situation. It's kind of like them being, it's kind of like, okay, they 38 years, you know, 38 long years, Jesus. But something happened to where it changes their situation, to where it changes their mindset, and they're able to make that decision to say, you know what, if I keep doing what I've always done, like my girl Shatara always say, insanity, not T. Sean, or Sean T. insanity, but if I keep doing what I've always done, I'm going to continue to get the same results. I am tired. And it may be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later. But I'm being honest with you, I've done what Jesus did with this man, you know, just asking the question, do you want to be healed? Do you want it? I've offered the tools and have walked people through what they need to do, and I've waited for them to say, you know what, I don't want this anymore. And I've done the suicide. Are you thinking about changing your situation? Because I see you struggling. I see your behavior. I see that, you know, things aren't looking too good. To make them understand that I know that something is going on and that they're not alone, so that they don't have to continue to go through life with financial suicidal thoughts, that I may have to take my own life because I don't think my situation can be corrected, or I don't think I can get the healing or the help or the support or the intervention that I need. So I'll just commit financial suicide and just let it all hang out. And sometimes we have to ask the question, and I've asked that question, are you thinking about killing yourself financially? Are you thinking about it?
You know, this whole, everything that I think we've been talking about tonight is really something that Jesus said, and it sums it up. It's what was he saying, or what is recorded that happened in that last verse that I'll talk about for tonight? Do you want to be made whole? You know, being whole is about reconciliation. Go back to the definition of what healing is. Healing is the natural process in which the body repairs itself. Mm-hmm. And if you've been listening either on this earlier today or last week, as believers, we are the body, capital B. So therefore, when people among us are going through their financial ailments, have some disruptions in their PRF profiles, then it is nobody's responsibility but the body to help repair that. I'm going to say we. I know Brother Feaster would get me if he was on right now. But we can't be cowardly ministers for God. Mm. Finances is one of the most detrimental causes, and it's the topical cause, it's not the root cause, but one of the top three detrimental causes in marriages. We look at what our poverty rate is. We look at how unemployment is affecting us. We can't get around it. It's something that we're going to have to deal with until Jesus comes home. And actually, after that, you know, we go into Revelation, we're dealing with finance a little bit there too. But for us, I don't plan on having to deal with it until Jesus comes home, and that's it. When this man was made whole, let's look at his body, physical body, and then let's look at us as the body of Christ. When this man was made whole, he was reconciled with that part of his body that was not working or functioning properly. So as we do our part to help people in this area of financial healing, and you do your part to help somebody in the area of financial healing, or you do your part to help yourself in the area of financial healing, what it does is strengthens the body. The man, if his legs were not strengthened, he would not have been able to get up and walk or stand on his own 2 feet. So yeah. By us talking about financial healing, talking about this subject, and we got one more week to talk about unless God says something different, we're talking about strengthening the body of Christ. I get tired of hearing people talk about all this flowery stuff about what God is going to do. God is going to bless you this. God is going to do this. Adia, you posted something, and I know it wasn't you. We can't be naive as believers to think that God is going to prosper everybody because somebody had a word for a few. The reality is the prosperity may come because of what you do. The prosperity may come because of what you do through Christ. If our body is not working properly, we can't do the things that need to be done for our churches, for our families, and for our communities. That's just the bottom line. That's how I see it. So whatever we can possibly do here on the PRF table to continue to help, to continue to put out information like this, to continue to try to minister to your needs in whatever way possible, then that's what we're going to do. This man was made whole before he stood up. He was made whole before he took up his bed. He was made whole before he walked. So we as Christians can't be the ones, as believers, we can't be the ones waiting for the other person to do everything. We want the benefit, but we have to be willing to do the work as well. It is so amazing to me that this man was healed by the word. The word, capital W. We're reading out of the book of John. John is the one who takes the divinity of Christ, and in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. So if we're not trying to do it by the word, everything else we're doing is futile. Everything. Chitara, any final comments for tonight? I'm done.
I don't think anything else needs to be said. That is enough to just marinate on and in.
Let me go
thank
here.
Thank God.
I wrote something down earlier, y'all, and I was like, well, if we get around to it. But I just can't seem to let it go tonight without bringing it up. As we talk about financial healing, and as we talk about the process, you can look at this scripture and you can see Jesus saying, do you want to be healed? And the man didn't respond properly, but he still received the healing. He didn't respond properly, but still was healed. That lets me know that everybody's not going to do everything that we even suggest to them for what they need to do for their financial healing and can still be healed. At the end of the day,
right. It
was Christ who did the healing. So we have to be of the mindset, not just us on the PRF table, but those of you who are listening that are in positions of influence to deal with other folks, it just may not be you. You may just be the one that plants the seed. But the word that came into my spirit, and we're just going to go over an hour and 15 minutes tonight, is instant gratification.
Oh.
When we read the word and we see what Jesus did, it is very easy, especially as an immature Christian, to say, you know what, Jesus healed this man. Lord, I'm going to pray, and I want you to heal my finances like this. All right. Okay. Okay. We are, I'm not going to say we are up against, they're up against us. Those individuals who teach, just do this one thing and you're going to get your miracle. And I put it out there on the page, the Blog Talk Radio page a little earlier today. Do you want a financial healing or are you just looking for a financial miracle? That's deep, y'all.
It's tight, but it's right.
Are you looking for a financial healing or looking for a financial miracle? Jesus did miracles, true enough, because that was him. But the reality is, Brother Dunlap, I don't have the ability, I don't believe I have the ability, or I have not had the ability or exercised the ability of helping a lame man to walk. So that means that I have some limitations because God has not given me everything to be able to do everything. That's why we have a body, capital B. Remember I talked a little bit earlier about putting some things aside, taking up the mat, putting some things aside. Lottery. I have been told, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Y'all should have just said, y'all should just let me go. There are certain things out here in the world, and I'm about to smack somebody in the face with this. Y'all heard me a couple weeks ago. It's about being bold this year. There are some things in our world that we live in called lottery. Not too far from us, we got casinos. I'm not downing those things at all. But what I am saying is when individuals are looking for the instant gratification versus being willing to go through the process of saving some money, because sometimes when individuals that I know came to the job or I saw them in church and say, I hit the lottery for $100. Well, if you had some discipline, if you saved up maybe $10 a week, that $100 that you won with those scratch-offs, you could have did it in 10 weeks, but it took discipline. The instant gratification of our society today has individuals, makes it easy for individuals to keep seeking the instant gratification. So as now we're talking about, you know what, you may not get that $100 today. It may take you 10 weeks. Oh, man, I ain't got time for that. $10 a week, that ain't no money. But when you look at how much money has been spent on those scratch-offs, trying to get the instant gratification. Come on, man. That should do something to us as believers,
yes.
Y'all.
Yes.
We should have a mindset, not on my watch.
Amen.
And I'll say this. Don't put every doggone thing on the pastors. That ain't fair and it ain't biblical.
Amen.
We are the hands and feet of Christ. Oh, and here comes a slap in the face. Same thing inside the church. If you're doing raffles in your church and you got people thinking that it's to bless the kingdom of God, something wrong with that picture. Because if a raffle is being done in the church, what's the difference than me doing a scratch-off in the community, at the liquor store, at the gas station? I am putting money in so that I have the opportunity to get something right now back.
Boom.
Instant gratification and healing do not go hand in hand. If God chooses for you to have a financial miracle, then he chooses for you to have a financial miracle. But if the mindset is that you're going to get a financial miracle every single time, I think that's not a wise position to be in. Because when you don't get the financial miracle every single time, then now that's going to do something to your faith. I can't do nothing but tell you the truth.
Yep. Amen. That's what I was just going to say. It's going to now your faith. Yep.
Mm-hmm. God gives us his providence. He gives us grace. He covers us. Saying all that, God is not going to doesn't give us financial miracles every single day. You can't just go blow your money and then expect God to give you a financial miracle when your car note is due. Can't go blow your money and expect him to give you a financial miracle the next month when you rob Peter to pay Paul, now to pay your mortgage. We can't put things on God for the decisions that we make. When I talk to people and teach people about credit, whenever we do something that we're not supposed to and it results in a negative mark on our credit reports, by law, it's able to stay on our credit report for 7 years. Okay. It is very easy to pray to God and say, Lord, you know I'm trying to buy this house next year. This mark on my credit is going to be, it's going to kind of mess me up. And want and have a desire for God to have that removed off your credit. But, beloved, you can't call it a miracle when you pay somebody $250 to take it off your credit. Can't call it a miracle. Can't call it a miracle. Well, I take that back. You can call it a miracle. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it, Mama. I just don't see it. So one of the things that we can tell people about is that the instant gratification during the healing process is not what you should be looking towards. Now, as we minister to people and as we tell people about this instant gratification that we're trying to push them away from, then we also have to be willing to deal with them and walk with them through the process. Because if I'm going to tell you, you don't need to be buying the lottery tickets. You don't need to be buying the scratch-offs every day when you get off of work. Then I have to be willing to be there with that individual and maybe show them how they can save that money. The reality is, if somebody is spending $10 a day on scratch-offs, if that's what they do, I promise you, I can help them save some of that money. They may not be ready to not spend $10 a day. So maybe your approach can be, won't you let me hold five of those dollars? Because some people are addicted to some of these things, which is why that instant gratification is so much more powerful than me going to on a cruise and going to the slot machines and spending $10 on a slot machine once a year. Yeah, I do it. I'm sorry if that makes me a bad preacher now. Sorry. But you understand what I'm saying. I don't know why that has come up, and I don't know who that is for. But I know, again, beating a dead horse, that instant gratification is not going to do it. So I'm glad that we here on the PRF table, that we have the spirit of walking with individuals, and that's where we're going to be at next week. Is this financial healing? Is this thing a financial healing? Is this something, and I said it maybe 2 weeks ago, that is it something that you have to do by yourself? Or is there a community among you that's willing to walk with you? Sometimes you may not know the community is willing to walk with you because you ain't saying nothing and because they ain't saying nothing. Well, looks like both of us are going to be in a jacked up way. We're not doing what we need to be able to do to help, and you're not doing what you need to be able to what you need to do by saying that you need help. Mm-hmm. I'm robbed of my blessing from being able to help and to minister, and you robbing yourself of joy, peace, happiness, love, and everything else, all the other good fruits of the Spirit, because you're in a bad way. The last question, and we're going to deal with two questions last week. The one I just mentioned, and the last question that we're going to deal with, or the final question in this series that we're going to deal with is, why do you want to be healed? Why do you want to be healed? If you go back to John chapter 5, you will notice that after the man was healed and he stood up and he picked up his bat and he walked, that there's a whole sequence of events that occurred after that. So I'm going to be bold enough to say, if you're looking for a financial healing, and the financial healing is only for you and your household, or just for you, that may not be the best motive for the body. There's a scripture in Corinthians that basically says, I'm paraphrasing, comfort those with the comfort that you have been comforted with. So I am one to tell somebody that God came through for me back in 2002 when I was almost about to file for bankruptcy. There is no way in the world that I want to see anybody have to go through bankruptcy. But if somebody does go through bankruptcy, if that's what they need to, then at least I have some type of experience and I have some type of a sympathetic and empathetic ear to be able to say, you know what, I understand what it feels like to be in that position where you now had to go and say, I need some help from big government. But you know what happens when that occurs, y'all? Bankruptcy stay on the credit report for 10 years, though. Oh, my goodness. So what's already there for 7 years, now it's 10 years for the bankruptcy. If we go back to the release of the dead in Deuteronomy chapter 15, where do you think the world got 7 year debts from? So if the world system that we operate in is using the biblical scripture foundation of Deuteronomy 15 for 7 years of debt, then maybe what we should be doing on the front end is trying to help people with debt so that they don't get wrapped up into that vicious cycle, as y'all were talking about on Facebook earlier this week, Adia and Shatar.
Amen.
I'm done, y'all. Why y'all let me go so long like this?
Because it was good.
God has it had its way. On its way.
My heart's desire, y'all, is for people to get healed. Can I throw something else out there about financial healing? There are some people that are on their jobs that are going to listen to this show. Maybe, maybe not. But maybe that you know who are listening. That are not stepping out and doing what God has called them to do in ministry, because they're depending on that paycheck. There are pastors and there are preachers who are hijacked because they can't afford to go into full-time ministry because the hearts of the people are in need of healing. There are some people that are depending on a retirement check before they start doing what they know they're supposed to be doing for the kingdom. All right. The government is the one that controls who does retirement checks. The company is what controls the retirement checks. A whole bunch of people at Enron years ago thought they was going to get retirement checks.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of financial healing, something that we may not deal with or talk about. People asked me when I got out of the military the first time, they said, you did 10.5 years on active duty. How come you ain't do the other 20? I mean, the other 9.5. I said, for what? I made a decision. I knew what was best for me and my family.
Amen.
Living for the retirement check. You know how many times I'd have been to Iraq and Afghanistan if I would have stayed in during that time? Thank God the second time I joined, I didn't have to go, but I'm just saying. I know for a fact because I got out in 2001. I know where I was going by 2002, 2003. Because I saw people in my career field right here in my same unit that was going. So I knew I'd have been one of the numbers. The sequence of events. Why do you want to be healed? That's what I want us to talk about next week. I'm praying that what we said today, the discussion, thank Shatara and Adia and Mama for being also the host of this show. And Pastor Wormley, thank you for your comments. If you're still listening with us and everybody out there who's listening, we just so appreciative of your listenership, especially over these last 2+ years. Join us again next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll come back and we'll try to do it again. We'll try to do it better than what we did it today. Until then, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you. Good night.